This is my friend Derek Ion, and he's come all the way from Rome,
Derek.
Or near Rome.
Nice.
Hello.
Near
Hello,
Rome.
Ion. Nice to meet you, if that's the way.
Yeah. Nice to be met.
Well, that's a good way of putting it. Mm-hmm. I've been listening to some of the things that Bob kindly sent me, and I have to say I've been bowled over by some of the insights, and so I'm very happy to have the occasion to talk to you.
It's a little bit on the avant-garde side because through normal mediacology, it doesn't fit the round edges and the square abrasive sides, but yet the system that they have presently doesn't hold into the mathematical schematic that would allow, say, a law of physics to be applied to the conditioned systems anyway. So it's very interesting. You may have a question or two that can prompt into that realm. Maybe. We'll see.
Well, here's one. My interpretation of the slow but regular rise of quantum physics is that it could be the answer to the increase of complexity that the digital transformation has brought upon us, and a bit like as if big data itself was the beginning of a ground in which quantum physics could work.
Maybe.
And the question is...
Let's see, wait now. Before you have a question, you got to clean up some stuff. If you're talking about digital transformation, it's got to come too. And if you're going to have like a landscape dealing with velocity, the scale is never constant. So you're never going to have a digital transfer epiphany because the landscape in which the high impact occurs, you'll never know because the landscape it's hitting on, the bandwidth from the transformation is never the same. So you could have nirvana and you'd never know it from the definition that you've laid out right there. But if you can scale it, which I think you probably are trying to get there, you were just using words, but you've got to scale digital transformation in order for it to be applicable, meaning quantum physics would never accept it because it could never apply, because it's never going to hit the same part in the pipe, say, from pulling a cotangent or doing a trigonometric function. It'll never hit at the same spot. The amplitude will never be set because in a digital transformation, it can't, you see. The bandwidth flows, not in a box.
Yeah, but the other thing is that as I see the digital transformation, I see the continuation of linearity and things following, you know, traditional causality and other things simply accelerating as opposed to...
That's true, but they rarely are. So if you're making that as a hypothesis, we say, oh, okay... But it won't hold soup. You know, you're eating soup with a fork.
Don't get that. I get the
right
metaphor, but I don't see how it applies to what I'm saying.
Okay. Now, well, then I guess try to ask your question, and maybe we can help.
Well, this would be it. We're moving from a linear, whatever, you know, it could be the digital transformation, it could be the history of the alphabet, it could be all kinds of things that have actually plunged the Western world, at least, in a very linear way of dealing with things, an irreversible past, a sense of time that is going only one way, all these things that are, you know, the norm of our cognition. But the quantum physics allows an entirely different kind of approach to things, to the given, so to speak. And so my question is, to what extent does quantum physics allow us to begin to interpret the simultaneity of everything?
Okay. Cognitive linguistics and the neuroscience that allows perception to occur is the reason that you're having this broken loop syndrome. Now, you're repeating it right here and now. They talk about this virusy thing that's going on that has you bound and trapped over there now. They say that's cyclical.
Yes.
Meaning it's happened before and now it's happening again. So time perception would go, oh, okay, so about every 100 years we have one of these, give or take. All right, that's, you know, that's like, wow. And then you can start at the Black Death and go forward, and you notice it does kind of loop into itself in an interloper kind of way because they're never quite set. The gyroscope is never the same. Your words are solemn, and your math is good, but your foundation, the axis in which you're gauging your quantum capacitation, is never set. So you could never use what you're just divining as a machine to move to a different space in the time-space continuum, like how long does time last in a dream? You've got to be able to gauge that.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you're lost in it. That's what we're saying. Your work is sloppy. You're going to work it. You have to bring it back.
My work is?
Point of time. It's sloppy. You need to have it pinpoint to a specific gauge point. And at that one point, this occurred. I was going down the steps. I slipped and fell, and I broke my leg exactly. Dot. Okay. And you can dot, and then with the right formulation, gauge when you're going to fall and break your leg again. Exactly. The same way that this virus is looped again and morphing. But now, we would say the Black Death is a pretty good row, and some other things are, but this now becoming pandemic is going to be amazing, beyond astounding, because it's been amped up because of, like, your formulation that astutely gauges something that is, but yet now it's in with the humans, have pumped it up to such a large thing that it may become quite an event.
Yes. Well, coming to this question, then, yes, I'm in Italy.
Okay.
Yes, we're having all kinds of news, and there's a tremendous, I would say, resonance between sloppy measures taken by governments, not taken by other governments, a domino effect between one government and another one, and then the refusal to actually pay attention to what's happening in Asia, where, in fact, controls are working and where they are testing medication instead of waiting for 18 months to guarantee that they work. I find all of that very suspicious. What about you?
Well, we don't find it suspicious. We find it austere. What's happening is the government, as you know, they never, ever, ever, ever act. They only react. That's their only state. So when they react, they're always, as you say, qu'est-ce que c'est, a day late and a dollar short. Okay.
But the governments in the East have acted, in fact. And certainly Taiwan and Singapore and South Korea, these governments have actually put things under control by acting.
The problem with these politburos that you're prescribing, they tell their own stories. So they're not quite as rosy as they purvey. There's folks that are sick, they just don't let outside.
True. There's doubt certainly floating out there as well. But
now,
overall,
your point. Whoa, we'll take your point. Your point is on the money. But we're saying the hypothesis is sound, but what you're using as your evidentiary strata is not definitive. Here again, you don't know how many people have it. You don't know how many people are going to die of it. You don't know really how many people have died of it. And yet you're making this conditional response of this is why or how it applies. Okay? Now, what you should be looking at is how the meat sack body shifts and changes. in those notable positions toward attention, that'll help you. Because then you can validate exactly what's the point, exactly what to do, exactly, you know, in your...
Here, then, is a question. Here's another question that is could be helpful. I don't know. Is, according to your knowledge, the virus a tech body issue, or is it an organic event that occurred, I wouldn't say naturally, nothing being natural, but occurring at least without a human intervention?
The best things are, but there's room, because see, you're not finished yet, so it still may have that as an impetus.
No, I'm not a conspiracist, but there's been different kind of ideas that these viruses were being developed, clearly, by human intervention, by people who were capable of creating them, controlling them, and letting them out. And since it seems that the situation today is putting everybody in an extremely, everybody, I mean all the people of Italy, and certainly a lot of more people will be affected in the United States, putting everybody in a very weakened and, in, you know, a position that doesn't allow to even really respond rationally or emotionally to the situation, that has to be helpful for certain people who think that the world has to change, which it does. We know that. But that's what I'm asking. Yeah. Do you feel that behind there is a spontaneous way by which the human presence in the world is reorganizing itself for good measure, or is it something that is being created by somebody who sees an interest in it?
Maybe. Is it live or is it Memorex? You don't know till you get there.
No, I just was thinking, you know, sometimes you have a concatenation of circumstances and conditions that suddenly create an opportunity for something to happen. It does happen, takes the whole situation over and changes it. And so either that is a human decision or it's not. And that's my question.
Okay.
Derek, Ian has told me some stuff, and told Carol and I don't think he would like to talk on that level. Am I correct, Ian? You have to be careful.
Well, we certainly don't mind. We certainly don't mind, but it's not correct to argue the point when you got to clean it up. You got to clean it up a little bit, because just making broad spectrum points of conductivity is appreciable, but it's the validation, you can't recreate it. We're saying that if all that's the case, our work would be able to recreate the very same thing and then matriculate all the bad stuff. So, like the government, or in better than the government, we would react in such a way that there wouldn't be any action to be held, and then you move through it. But instead, you got this superfluous somebody out there somewhere, anywhere out there, comes up with this there and that there and this there, becomes a mess. And so it's like, aha, Rai, there it is. And then, but see, when you go back to do it again, the lines and the spaces never hook up.
Yeah, if I may. Then this brings up another argument regarding quantum physics, which is the idea of non-locality. The things occur from one place to the other without direct connection between the occurrences. And while everybody's looking for tracing the viral traveling, maybe there is very little point in doing that, because the thing will happen anyway, anywhere, without any direct contact or real viral connection. And so, what do you make of that? The non-locality principle, the entanglement principle, all these things that are coming with quantum physics.
Fine, but you're going to stir in string theory in a little bit, and that's just been all but debunked, you see? It just doesn't quite work. You have to realize that there is no time. So if you can take that out of the equation, that's going to help you, because what's happening is you're making your norm, the system in which you gauge it, a norm, is based on a false premise. But if you can do it without time, like repetition, that's timing. Okay, every time I ring the bell, Pavlov's dog frosts at the mouth. That has nothing to do with time, but I'm sure it would be a more virulent position if you rang the bell around dinner time. Okay? Well, great. Now you can build a principle on that, except Plato's dog doesn't eat at the same, Pavlov's dog doesn't eat at the same time. So now dinner time is whenever he eats. So the gauge how much slobber you get is how close or near the consistency for when Pavlov's dog eats, or maybe when Pavlov's dog is hungry, which is whenever that is. You see the difference? And so if your theory, if you can link it to some, then you win.
No, but I don't have theories. I have questions. And I do my best to frame my questions so that they're understandable to you and don't necessarily make me feel like an idiot. I have a serious.
Stop. We appreciate it beyond words, because we're going to call it out, because we're trying to get you on a level that you can go, oh, we want an aha moment. So the only way you're going to get an aha moment if we point out the obvious. If we say, okay, adjust it this much, or look at it this way, or make all things, make an Occam's razor be the exception, not the rule. Okay? If you can do that, now you're brilliant. Now, beyond smart, you become brilliant. Because now you can pin the tail on the donkey. You can say, and 47 hours, 13 minutes, and 2 seconds, this is going to blow up. You know. Wow. You can go through a whole lot of travail to have that kind of introspection. Yes?
Well, I'd like to have more on the thing that there is no time. That's I suspect that is true. I'd like to hear more about what makes you say that, and how do you see it applied in our moment?
Revelation, the scriptural reference in Revelation, is that there will soon come a time on earth when time will be no more. Now, we see everyone, including yourself, as indeed eternal. Okay. Always was. There was never a time you were not. But now, without your power, you have a timed element that you keep up with. A genealogy-based reference point of the begettings of who beget whom and step. You have to follow that all the way through. Okay. This time aspect then goes away once you realize there is no time. And then you can be 77 years old or 75 and act like a 50-year-old. I mean, Bob's old as dirt, and he's looking pretty good. He doesn't know. They celebrate his birthday.
Yeah, I saw that.
It was. Yeah. But see, that's the point. He's not judged by it because he's not in that system, literally. I mean, he grew his hair back, for Pete's sake. Why not? There's nothing to say he can't. Did he have time to grow his hair back? No, his hair just came back. No problem.
I like that. I could get into that.
He does too.
So, coming another question about, but then I guess it's another causality thing. I don't know. But I'll put it anyway, and you can tell me whether I'm just on the wrong direction here. But I'm very interested in Giordano Bruno, who also inspired McLuhan and inspired Joyce, and who is probably, and who lived about 40 kilometers from where I am in Nola. And the one thing that he says, which I think is very interesting and perhaps coherent with the present move towards the quantum theories, he said, it is not matter that creates consciousness, it's consciousness that creates matter. Okay, we're back in beginning and not that, but yeah. If there was any way that I could imagine, because it's an issue of imagination, if there any way I could imagine the truth of that statement, it would be by the fact that at the quantum level, consciousness reigns supreme in some fashion.
You want a more pointed question, Ion?
What was the question?
Yeah, just make it a question a bit.
The question was, can the resolution of physics be so fine that the impact of, wow, I don't even know how to frame that, but the impact of consciousness, let's say that
Newtonian law, Newtonian law is lost. It's not accurate. So you can't use a lost system to validate an outdated process. So if the end were to be the means, which it's not, but if the end were to be the means, then you could calculate exactly what the dog was going to eat when he went to poop, you see? And so if you're asking from that level, then we'd say, oh, okay, then that's how that works. But you don't have to prove what the bull ate to know that the bull was full of shit.
Hmm. Yeah, well, I guess my question isn't really either relevant or well put.
What don't we know about Rudolph? He was a very interesting person, Ion. Anything that you know humans aren't cognizant of about who he was or how many Brunos there were, things like that?
Well,
I don't know much more about Bruno.
Did he die at the stake?
He did.
No, that's what they say, but I'm asking Ion. Did he actually die at the stake, Ion?
He died just before the stake.
Somewhere else or at the fireplace?
At the fireplace.
Somebody killed him or he took a poison or what?
A powder, yes.
Right, so he committed suicide so he wouldn't feel it?
Correct.
Was he tied up?
Well, there was a.
Was he tied up to the stake when he died? Like, would the executioner sort of feel the body was limp?
Go ahead.
No. Well, I asked you, would the executioner, when he tied him up to the stake, if he was already dead, would the body be unnaturally limp? And dead.
No.
But the executioner.
No. It's dead, but you have that condition. You hold yourself in place. So if you're getting tied up to the stake, you're not going to be too rigid about the damn thing anyway. You're being tied up to the stake, Bob.
So he really knew what he was doing to avoid the pain.
Basically.
Yeah, go ahead, Derek.
But, you know, well, there was a practice that I have read about that in a mercy kind of way, before they actually really set the pyre to fire, the executioner would actually find a way to strangle the condemned so that he would be dead in a swift way as opposed to the very painful way by which you die by burning. But that may not be the case of Bruno. I'm just saying that that has been authenticated by historical research as a practice that was carried in executions by fire in several cases.
Was it done by friends of the person dying?
No, it was done by the executioner because the whole idea of the fire was to impress the people who were watching it. but not necessarily to make the person suffer.
Hmm. Bruno had some pretty amazing speculations for the general population about space, universe, and that. Was he a parallel worlder, Ion? Did he go to parallel worlds? That was a question, Ion.
Well,
did he have the ability to go to parallel worlds?
Everybody does, Bob.
Okay, well, did he do it consciously?
Apparently not, or you wouldn't have that as a question.
Why did he have such far-out ideas for his time about the state of the universe and even extraterrestrial contact?
Well, because you without limitation, your canvas grows larger. That was our argument before with mapping a genome or mapping a conditional response of how it repeats or is in a finite decadent space or page that's not defined. That's what we were arguing about before. And then now you're taking it to another level of how things move in and outside of itself. Without time, it's easy. But if you add time, it becomes much more challenging to validate.
Was he a triple agent politically in the world of espionage?
You never get that far in line without that being the case. If you got big enough guns, yes.
If he was a spy... is that true? That's what the rumors are. You're spying for different people.
Give us about 20 minutes with that, and in 20 minutes you can have a different response, meaning that yes, that could be the case in a loop, but you have to set the gauge for the loop to apply. Does that make any sense?
Right, you're applying quantum physics to his being.
Correct. And if that's the case, if you can get the nomer that presently is a misnomer, if you can get the nomer correct, then guess what? You'll always be able to count the omer correctly without having to blow the chauffeur.
Well, that's pretty neat, Derek. You can apply your four principles, four words to Bruno's life. What were they? Coherency? No, decoherence.
Superimposition,
yeah.
Entanglement, non-locality, decoherence, and absurd, the absurd. Because I think we are in a very absurd kind of world right now by comparison to the standards and the norms, since we're talking about norms, of the time before Trump, for example. Before 2016, the world sort of just followed suit. And it didn't present a specific, of course we had a lot of problems, but it didn't present a specific rational, a challenge to the rationality. Now, everything that's happening is a challenge to rationality. Maybe rationality is not useful anymore. That could be a question. But this is why I'm
not very
really grasping at straws.
The problem is it's not rational. See? The mundane has become the sublime.
That's interesting.
3 months ago, we started screaming, bring out your dead, bad things are happening, blah, 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 blah. People listen, we're very blessed and fortuitous to have people from around the world engage. And they bring perspective. That's interesting sometimes, because now what happens is you have a brighter, bigger stamp. So basically the canvas is enlarged, so you can give more cohesive factoids or fractals. Let's say if you were running a gauge from, say, a Faraday cage, moving through an elemental condition or a stance, from one state to a second state, okay, and you're trying to track it. Well, that's where the problem is like going through black holes. Going is not the problem. Coming back is the problem. But if you could have a system within a system that's gauged or graded, that means it has a graduate or a coefficient of 12, then you could always mark the point from a bipolar axis that had the same magnetic field code as, say, a polarity of 3 to 9. It's got to be the same. You could be able to track through your time-space continuum to land where you were just before you were, if what we say is the case and proves the point that indeed there is no time. Okay, we jokingly goad and play with lots of phraseologies and things in the land that your grandchildren knew. That's fun if you can figure that out. Then all of a sudden your work becomes euphoric because now you can prove the point, first of all, that basically the laws that they're gauging or saying that is are not right justifiable, which means they are too clever by half, which, as you know, isn't clever at all, and they're doing a great deal of work based on false premises, and that's why they are failing and or don't give any answers, you see. So you find yourself doing the wash with no water. Plenty of soap, but no water. I think that you need a nice surfactant would help as long as there's water. You have the surfactant, but no water to make it work.
By the way, okay, so I get some of that. But the question then now, and it is a question, if there is no time, is there a place?
If there is no time, is there a what?
Yeah, what was the last word?
Space. Is there space? Is there extension, like Mr. Descartes used to say?
Are you saying faith, F-A-I-T-H?
Huh?
We're not getting the word. If there's no...
No. I said place. Place.
Oh, place, yeah.
Location.
Yeah.
There's no time, but there is location, or is there no location and no time?
There is location. There is location. Because that's the only way you can track an X and a Y dot position on, say, a graph. There is space.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There's just no time.
Okay.
And that's the problem with the time-space continuum.
All right.
But now, there is time.
Okay,
right now,
then my question.
Now, you're on a point. Well.
Yeah, ahead. Finish, Ion.
No.
What's your point?
No.
Okay.
Nope.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead, Derek.
Then my question is, I've lost my wife 17 years ago. I'm very fond of her, and I would have very much wanted to know where she is now.
The essence that you adored about her is almost next to you right now. Your paradigms, well, or your vicissitudes don't allow you the construct to have engagement with her. But yet you can still walk into a room this day and smell her. You know this?
No, it's not so much smell, but a sense of presence, absolutely.
It's got to be tactile. It's got to be visceral, or it's just your mind fucking you around. It's got to be real. Got to
could be. That's my question.
Yeah.
That's my question.
You got to validate.
This is why I talk about space.
Okay, but that's the validation. So the space where she is and the space where you are almost simultaneous. Almost. Because you were always in steps from this realm. She's in the same step, but just out of your range. Okay? Quantum physics allows you to gauge the space, but if you use time, you're always going to miss it by half. So she's going to arrive and just as you're leaving. Or you're going to come just as she's left. You see? the timing, there is timing,
I like
there's
that.
No time. Yeah. And so now what?
I like this. I like this. I think it's very interesting.
All you have to do, well, now all you have to do is sync it up. How you sync it up is you have to stop. If we could turn back time to the good old days, you can do that. And we are blurry faced.
Interesting.
We care
very
what you think.
He just quoted a song, Derek. He just quoted a song.
A crazy song. 21 Pilots.
We are blurry. We are blurry faced and we care what you think. It's a lyric.
Yeah. So now what happens is now you can sync it. Now all you got to do is sync it up. All you got to sync it up. And how you sync it up, you know what a Faraday cage is? Yes or no? That's a question.
No. No.
Look it up.
No, I don't.
Look it up.
I will. Well,
okay. Now, with a Faraday
cage. All right,
cage,
I'll do that. I can't.
Okay, and so don't. And then you know what a fractal is?
Yes.
Okay, now we aren't referring to specifically the antenna as a fractal, but we will use it as an antenna because what you're trying to do is you're trying to prove a point that you can sync up time. Now, wait a minute. We just said there is no time, but there is timing. So if you want to bump into your bride, you can do that. You got two ways to go at it. In a Faraday cage, you are consistent. She is the anomaly. In a fractal, she is consistent, and you are the anomaly. So what you're going to do is you're going to merge
nice.
Or marry both. You're going to merge and marry both. You married her the first time so you can have access to her the second time because she's right there. Actually, this engagement is caused by her. She set this up. Not you, however clever. She set this up to get you to shake yourself because she's basically saying how stubborn you always are, and you are, and that's great because you get things done by the stubbornness, but the point is this allows you to have an interaction which she also desires and knows it's one that you desire. So you don't have to talk to folks from the great beyond, you can be in the great beyond with folks. You see, we call it the three kingdoms, the inner, outer, and the middle kingdom. They've now merged. So now you have the great capacity, since the Newtonian law is gone, that you're not judged by those systems to the point that you can actually now ease in out of those, canicles. We're also working on the Egyptian Book of the Dead, and once you get through a certain level of that, you can bring your wife back from that land, which is a bit of a weirdness, but it's still fun. It's still fun because it syncs up, just as you're talking about what we're telling you how to do and what to do, through a quantum phase. Do you know what a quantum phase is?
No, but I learned. Tell me.
Good. Okay. The quantum phase is where you see in a triangulation condition where you're triangulating a position. Now, we're going to say it's like the way the cell towers triangulate your location by hitting three points and measuring those distances. Okay. When you're talking about the land of the dead, which really isn't much of a land, but where you're not live, okay, you're still energy and you're eternal. So what we've got to do is we've got to hook up your position from where you are to where she is and or vice versa. May have to do them both. But all you have to do is stop everything for 1 second. Funny how you use time to do such a thing. You stop everything, and that becomes your formulary, your formulum, the formulum which you will use to gauge your position. Now, you have, the problem is you have too many variables, okay? So you have to use a trigonometry formula to calculate exactly where you are and where how to find her. and you'll bump into some anomalies that'll give you some little check marks. Say check, 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 check. And when that happens, then it moves. And once it moves, then all of a sudden you can walk into the room, but see, you're not where you used to be. You know that, right?
Yes, no, it's that's very interesting. I'm not quite sure I can understand everything now, but I'm recording this so that I will be able to study it.
Yeah, that's right. And it's all recorded too, so you can play with this. But the only thing that's significant is if you look into the parameters of what they say a fractal is now. See, historically that has changed. Mm-hmm. Everything is upside down now because all these years they've been using science inappropriately. Like they're trying to prove dark matter isn't light hope, which is kind of crazy. But they're doing it backward. They're doing it backward. So what you can do is now that makes you very smart because now you can look it forward and you can take a dark matter position and sync up different levels of reality. Because reality is not a string theory, or is it linear? There's the rub. And we call it, we jokingly refer to it as the redneck holodeck, where you could take in a sealed field, and can move to anywhere. Well, if you can move to anywhere, you can move to where your wife is and have an interaction and engagement physically, which is way cool.
Hmm.
That's easy. We may have to do it for you the first time, but you're not trying to do that. I mean, you want to see her, you want to talk to her, blah, blah, blah. We get that. But more than that, what you're trying to do is...
No, I don't. No. You got me. No. Ion, you got me wrong. I don't want to hold her, see her, and all that. That's not what I mean at all. What I mean is a
you
connection with her.
Point.
First of all,
you want to prove the point.
No, I don't want to prove any part. I don't want to prove anything. I'm enjoying 17 years of a strange, wordless relationship with somebody I loved, I still love, and the love is what I understand and experience. And it's not necessarily going to be physical or mental or even really emotional. It's a presence.
No.
It's a very nice one.
That's fine.
I'm not trying to prove
presence.
Anything.
No, but you can. You can. If you're able to do this, you can prove it, and it becomes the work of the millennia. That's what we're saying. We're saying it's not about that. It's not about that you want to be physically there. It's that if this works, this is how you come to, it's how you mark the piece of paper so that you, when the scientists say, what the fuck is this? You can say, here's my work. And that's like, boom. Then they can do it too. It's quite insightful then. The medium is the message, you see.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah, this medium is the message.
Mm-hmm. And then, now prove it. See, there's the rub. See, it takes the platitude and validates it with the vicissitude.
You'll have to coach me there, Mr. Ion.
It's easy. It's easy. Now we've played with it a little bit, given a little backdrop. Now we've got to bring it back down to pencil and paper. Repete. This is done by rote. It is. It has to be. Because if it's not done by rote, then you're so clever, you'll outdo yourself. Take the world and graft it off into graph paper so that you can have points so you know where you are and go point, dot, 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 dot. And the next thing you know, there's a field in which is your arena, your environment. Now, we're not necessarily saying for you to do this particular task, but we're trying to get the construct to lay out exactly so you can see what your reference is. If you go from here to Bangkok, then from Bangkok to Russia, then from Russia to Australia, you have a pattern field in which you are consumed. Meaning, if that's everywhere you went, that's everywhere you are. If that's everywhere you are, then that settles it. you would not be included in Siberia. Okay? So now that would be excluded from the pattern graph. Now the pattern graph is what's going to lay out where you are. So you don't know where you are, and you're trying to get to have where she is, and we're saying you physically can do this. That's the point. It's called sinking the realms. Sinking the realms. Now, this isn't syncope, okay, but in a vasovagal type of response, your meat sack bodies can respond. It's like when you're dead asleep. You're dead asleep, and they dash freezing water on you, and you are just completely gone asleep, and that water hits you, you're instantly awake. Wow, everything comes alive. The dopamine hits, and you're fighting up because you just got doused with ice cold water. That reaction and response is the same thing that can move you from a realm to another realm, a world to another world. It's how some people can just kind of what you call check out. You know what that means? It's like check out as they go, then they're gone. Or and sometimes the way they validate hypnosis, and sometimes hypnosis is that those modalities. We tell you what to think, sir. You don't see a problem unless we expose it. You don't see a problem unless we expose it. The car tells you when to change the oil now. Used to, you had to just do it by rote. 35,000 miles or 3,500 miles, you had to get the oil changed. Now the car tells you when to change the oil. See, it's smarter than you. You don't think. This is not a thinking man's game. Your body and your power is meant to be autonomic. You don't have to remember to breathe, thank goodness. Right?
Yes, unless coronavirus, of course.
Well, whatever. But you're meant to be autonomic.
No, it's true.
What's true?
That you have to remember or know how to breathe or have a respirator or what they call these things, a ventilator, in order to keep on breathing
ventilator.
When you are hit by the virus.
Yes, yes, great, but the ventilator knows when to breathe, not you. See, the tech body controls
true.
Your breath. Good. There you go. And that's why they're so computerized. Used to, it was just squeeze the bulb. A human squeezed the bulb or the black lung, set the amount of pressure, and then made sure that the oxygen flowed to that level to keep the levels of the blood gases balanced. Okay? So now it sets it up to a different
thing. Dr. Ion, do you know what?
We do know what.
Yeah. No, you have given me an aha moment. Finally, I'm getting one.
Good.
I'm pleased and grateful.
Yeah, it's good. And I'm sorry we missed it last week, but it wasn't ready last week. You weren't in the right place. Oh, here's another thing that happened that also Bob has done and his most powerful. You have to praise Bob sooner or later. It'll work out better for you if you do it early on. It's called early onset praise receptors. It kind of keeps you into the food chain. Bob doesn't like restaurants. He likes food. He doesn't know what food is. But he eats it, especially if it tastes good, if it's tasty. That's what he calls it. Carolyn, do we eat? Blah, blah, blah. And she says, yes, Bob, we eat. And so he says, okay. But otherwise, he's not eating anything. He ain't touching that shit. He eats nothing. Okay, Bob doesn't like to go to restaurants because the waiters aggravate him trying to sell him glasses of water that he's not going to drink because he only drinks living water. That's bread of living water, you've heard in the calls. But anyway, the point is that he doesn't drink the water, or he does very little of it, and he gets aggravated because he tries to talk to people, which is his life, and the waiters are constantly, they won't engage in the conversation, but they interrupt him, and he loses his train of thought, and oh, crap, that's and so he is sick of having to go to restaurants when people come to eat. Now, this new situation doesn't close the restaurants, but you have to take it to go. That means you have to take it somewhere else. So the waiters can never interrupt Bob anymore with this ridiculous position of trying to sell him mundane glasses of water. That's another thing he's done. He'll have to put that in his little checklist.
Good. That's good to know. What's the water that he recommends, if at all?
Iron has helped us make water. Yeah, Iron made us the living water and the bread of life. For me and Carol, we're the only ones who drink it on the planet other than JW's family, because it would kill the rest of you. And we're going through a transitional phase, so it'll be available for you, Derek. But that's a long story.
Yeah. You know, it's funny that you talk about water, because last week I was under real pressure to write a piece, I mean, a reasonably long piece on water preservation, water waste, the value of tap water versus bottled water. It was all kinds of things, all about water. And, of course, I came to the Fountain of Youth. And I don't know if you remember that myth, but it's a very interesting one. And the best expression of it that I have found is not a myth.
Yeah, we have it, Derek. We actually have it. It's called the iBlock.
Okay. Well, all I want to tell you is to point you to a very, very beautiful painting by Lukas Cranach from 1546, which you can analyze it by detail, and it is absolutely stunning. Nobody seems to have realized how precise the actual painting is. You can find it on Wikipedia, Lukas Cranach, The Fountain of Youth.
Bob, tell him Karen's in the picture, for God's sake.
Yeah, Carol's in the picture. That's right, Derek.
Well, hey, do you know the painting?
Yes, Carol's in it. And Carol, if you go to the Sistine Chapel, the painting on the ceiling of Isaiah, I think that's who it is, you'll see Carolyn, little Carolyn, in the painting.
Good. Well, I'll go back there, but I can't now because I'm not in Rome.
Right.
But anyway.
Yeah, you're done. Yeah.
All right. So, well, the fountain. Tell me about the Fountain of Youth.
It's called
Ion. Tell me about the Fountain of Youth.
It's Insulinose. What it does is it activates the hypothalamus and the pituitary gland. It makes it blossom. So it moves you to a more autonomic state, which allows your body to change or morph and accepts the new RNA. It's not about DNA. It's about RNA that changes the information to your cells that converts you back. And that's where the Fountain of Youth comes from. That's where you can look at pictures of Bob now. And he looks better now than he did 20 years ago. He was a bit yucky 20 years ago. He looks good now.
So, Derek, Insulin Nose is something we made, and Carol named it. It's chapter, what is that in the Bible? Ezekiel 122, Ion?
No, that's the color of the terrible crystal. You're talking about the white stone, the eye cell, which is the essence, which makes, there's dead water, which is what you're working with now, and there's living water. Remember, Jesus was at the well and the Samaritans. He didn't fuck with Samaritans, and he said, "Bitch, draw me some water. I don't have a bucket, and if you'll do that, I'll give you water, and you'll never thirst again." Well, Bob hates water. He's hated water his whole life. Now he's got a water he actually likes. And so this is that living water where he's never thirsty. But he likes it. He drinks it because it's good, but he's never thirsty. And amazingly, he's now hydrated because he never drank. So his renal function was not 100%, but it is now, because he actually has real hydration, because it changes the way the hydrogen lands in the cells at the cellular level. That's a little free part we had never said before, so you did pretty good. Bob will probably capture that. Bert's probably got erection now.
We started getting the water in July. Remember I told you went to Atlanta in July? And so I've seen people who haven't seen me in a year or so, and they say I'm glowing from a year ago, but that's because I've been doing the water since July. But the chapter verse is Revelation 2:17. Yeah. I will give the victor some of the hidden manna. And that's our RNA drops. I will also give him a white stone. Yeah, and on the stone,
you know,
now listen to this, and on the stone a new name is inscribed that no one knows except the one who, I had to click on it to finish it, except the one who,
named
217. It. Yeah, I will also give that person a white stone with a new name written on it, known only to the one who receives it. Carolyn was that person. That's why she's in the Sistine Chapel, and she named it back in 2010 or so. Insula knows.
One interesting thing about you, Bob, if I may say so, is that your voice has changed.
Yes. Everybody has noticed that since Ian showed up. I've changed. Anybody who knew me before or says that. Yep, it's changed. And it's changed even
it's
more, probably, because of the water.
Oh, God, you got to tell him you got rid of the death rattle. Do you remember the death rattle, boss?
No. You mean in my voice?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Get rid of the death
He's
rattle.
Right. There was a death rattle.
Yeah, they, there you were.
Yeah.
When you came to Nice, you had a death rattle.
Okay. I wasn't that aware of it.
No, one isn't.
You're a step away. You're one step away, Bob. You're one step away, you dark soul. You're almost out of here.
Bob is eternal, as we know.
What did you say, Derek?
Yes,
what?
Bob is eternal.
That you are eternal.
Yes. But I'm also the dark soul, Derek, but we shouldn't get into that today.
I'll show you.
Let's not get into that today. You're right.
So, right. It's good.
Hang in there. I'm going to have to leave because I have some duty to attend. But I wanted to know. Can we meet next week?
Sure. You're a very good question.
We're
making productive dialogue
every weekend. And here's what's wonderful. You're not so steeped in your ridiculous dogma that you're not beyond the embracing of a new construct that can change your world forever. And that's good.
Thank you.
Because you're not bigoted or biased. Now, Bob's not a bigot. He hates everybody. He's an equal opportunity. He's an equal opportunity hater. Sooner or later. So it's real easy. It's real easy after a bit. But play with it. Now, once you start bumping into things, here's the other thing with fucking with non-physical. What happens is it heightens your sensory constructs. So things you looked at before, you're going to see things a little differently now. And when you do that, you're going to have different questions. Now, that's appropriate. But don't let the socio-perception trip you up into any recourse that allows you to have a broader spectrum knowing. Don't let your rigidity affect your tactility.
Got you. Yes. Excellent.
Okay.
Well,
go
thank
do,
you. This has been a very,
you,
very
go do what
interesting
you, go
moment.
Go do what you do.
All right.
Hey, Derek, an
My
interesting
best to
point,
you.
A final point. We have kept it secret that the Pope was on our products, and then Ian finally announced it tonight in passing, and it's symbolic to me because you're sort of approaching the Vatican. You've talked to them. You want to provide some advisory role to them or something. So it's interesting that the day you show up, you Catholic, you, Ian talks about the Pope.
Start working on. Hey. When the Pope, God's representative on the earth, calls him sick, we got a problem.
Yeah, I have. You know, it's not because I lived in Rome normally that I am anywhere closer to the Pope. I had to respond to a few interviews about how I thought this particular Pope was, especially at the beginning, and I thought he was somebody much more exciting than all the ones that preceded him. And I, you know, I wish him well. I saw did you see the film, The Two Popes?
Not yet. I know
of
it.
Bob got rid of that Pope because of a bit of rigidity. That was That's the problem. He got rid of that pope. He does that. No, really. And there's two cardinals. There's two cardinals that actually run it, and though they're dear allies, they've been listening since melting titanium, humbug.
Yeah, since 2010, these two cardinals, they got ESP, mm-hmm. and they would listen through ESP.
Huh. Mm-hmm. Who are they?
That's neither here nor there. Well, we're not. We can. Well. Well, we could tell you, but Bob would have you killed, so we don't think he wants you killed.
All right.
So, very good, Jerry.
Shall we? Hey, Bob, we'll do it this way. We'll have them presented to him. They'll run into him.
Oh, okay.
Him, you know, say, yes. And he can ask. You bump into a cardinal, they'll have on red. You bump into a cardinal, ask them if they know J.R. Bob Dobbs. And if they say yes, then go to the line. So, we'll give you homework. We'll do quantum physics. We'll clean up the time-space continuum. We'll give you the keys to the redneck holodeck and let you meet the papacy that's running things. No, that'll be nice. Good for you. He's pretty good.
Yeah. Very good, Derek.
All right. Okay. Talk to you soon.
All right.
Okay.
Bye.
Very well.
Bye-bye.
Well, that requires some music, doesn't it?
One second, Bob. We got a little bit of cleanup to do. We thought this was going to be ridiculous, and you proved it wrong. We thought it was going to be inappropriate because we got another one of your know-it-alls who knows everything. They don't know shit. And instead, what happened is you have engaging conditional responses where someone is on a journey or a what do you call it when you're trying to figure something out? What are they trying to do to Mecca to get back?
Quest.
Yeah, we never had one, so we wouldn't know what that is. Don't even like to say it, but on this quest, and they're taking whatever is. It's kind of like looking for the Holy Grail. They don't run around and say, there is no Holy Grail. I don't believe in the Holy Grail. What the fuck are you talking about? I'm looking for the Holy Grail. No, I don't know where it is. No, I don't believe in it. No, it's just a bunch of stories. I don't know why, but I'm going to spend my life looking for the Holy Grail. When somebody says it's sitting right over there on the counter. No, it can't be sitting there because I know what the Holy Grail is and it can't be over there. And they'll spend their whole life fighting to get something that they're looking for. They've given up their every ounce of their power to argue that the thing that they're trying to get a hold of doesn't exist. And in this particular case, he's not that way. He's like, I don't know this construct, but it's interesting. Let me see. Let me validate some level or quantitatively find some evidentiary position that I can embrace that might validate this thing that I already don't know. You see? Because he's admitting that he doesn't know. It hasn't been solved. So it's very refreshing.
Yes.
So this one's not so much as an idiot as some of your others.
Well, it's what Scott has come to.
Yeah,
Derek
yeah,
comes in
perfect,
as
yeah.
God is now.
Yeah, that's right.
So let's bring Bert and Scott in. I'm interested in their reactions.